So like I said, that was a 1976 song. Now I want to sip some glue by the Ramones.
The following program contains adult language and mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
One more time.
Hey, everybody, welcome to One Song Each, the podcast of competitive banter, where three of us pick one song each and we talk about it. Cool?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a legal machine. With me is...
Diablo Frank.
And...
Mr. Fix-It.
And, yeah, so let's play some songs here, guys. Let's talk about one song each. Here's mine, Ready to Go. 1976 song by the Ramones, Now I Want to Sniff Some Glue, which is my favorite Ramones song. This is my favorite Ramones song. And I'm not a huge Ramones guy. I'm more of a Misfits fan. But what this song fucking reminds me of is all these motherfuckers eating Tide Pods.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of people making fun of these kids eating Tide Pods, right?
Yeah.
Nowadays. But then I think back, I'm like, ah, what a bunch of fucking idiots. And I think back, I'm like, God damn, we did some stupid shit when we were kids too. So for me, it was like the knockout game when we were kids, was where you're supposed to like breathe 10 times and you like cross your arms across your chest. And then somebody picks you up and holds you and you're supposed to like black out for a little bit. And some, there were, you know, quote unquote, kids would die doing it and stuff. But you never knew if kids were actually dying or if parents were just telling you kids were dying to make you stop doing it. Who fucking knows? So I was going to present to the audience here, Diablo Frank, Mr. Fix-It, what were some stupid shit trend things like Tide Pod eating that went on in your day? Do you guys remember?
The biggest one when I was in junior high was, I don't know if it had a name, but it was this game that we played. I guess nowadays you would say it was bullying people, but the game would be, you would come, it was a two-man team. One person would come up to you and confront you, say, hey, what's going on? The other person would come up behind you. He would then reach between your legs, put his arm out. The person in front of you would grab his hand, pull his arm up, catch you by the balls, and try to lift you up as high as possible.
Like clothesline you?
Yeah, from your balls. And the point of the game was to try to lift someone as high as possible, have them grab their balls, and then watch them fall flat on their face because they're too much in pain. It was a violent game that played through my schoolyard like wildfire. And when most smart people got to school, we had these benches you could sit. You tried to get to that bench as quick as possible so you could sit down until the bell
before
started.
Somebody could get you.
Yeah. Because the minute those seats were filled up, you were game. Because you had to stand in the middle of this yard. We had this courtyard that they would have the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders all standing in. So the 8th graders took their part because they were the seniors. The 7th graders sat in the center. So as a 6th grader, you had just these 3 benches. So you really wanted those benches as fast as possible because you knew the 7th and 8th graders were going to be out just fucking lifting dudes all day. And nobody said nothing. Like, it was just like, the teachers would be like, oh, they're just being kids. And I saw dudes get fucking flung, like big football players doing that shit and just launching dudes into the air. And you'd see these dudes just crashing on concrete face first. And teachers are like, oh, they're just boys, and just walk off. And I'm just like, now that I'm an adult, I'm like, Jesus Christ, that was bullying to the highest degree. But
and then the other one that I remember was that you heard older kids, it was swallowing goldfish and shit like that. That was another one.
Yeah, that was before our time, though.
I mean,
that shit back in like the 60s. That was a boomer thing, not a Gen X thing.
Okay. I'm telling you, but even when I was in junior high, that's what you heard people swallowing goldfish and shit like that. Like, it's just like on dares and stuff like that.
I might have partaken in this game that we played as well. There was another game that would do was, so if you got to school early, they would give you, remember those little milks and orange juices they would give you?
Yeah.
So
the cartons?
Yeah, the little cartons. So what some people would do, and I might have partaken once or twice in this, is if you didn't drink your juice as you went to go dump your trash, you would stack your juices on trays. So when one of those trays was full, someone would take the tray, we would walk outside the courtyard a good 50 yards and start flinging them into the air and watching them come bombing down into the courtyard, hitting people. And the game was to try to hit as many freshmen as possible. I might have been an 8th grader at the time, and that's where the 6th graders were standing, and we were maybe not trying to hit them with orange juice and milk cartons flung in the air. That was just the game we played.
You might have your grades wrong. Freshman would be, what, 9th grade?
No.
9, 10, 11, 12?
Junior high was 6, 7, and 8.
Well, that's fine, but a freshman...
No, freshman was high school, dude.
Freshman's your first year of high school.
Well, I guess... Well, then what would you call it? Was 6th grader, 7th grader, 8th grader?
Middle school.
Yeah, that's middle school.
You would still be seen as freshman, junior, and a senior.
No,
you're not a junior in junior high, dude.
Come on,
brosive.
Three levels, because we, like I said, we had 6th.
I got
gotcha.
I got the new kids to the school is what you're trying to say. You would try and jack up with
the 6th graders, yeah.
Yeah, because they're the new ones of the school.
The cherry bitches, yeah, but not
that
formally.
The pencil game too was real big too.
We played quarters. Do you know what quarters is?
With shots, yes.
This is fucking like elementary school, dumbass, where you would flick the coin and make it spin a quarter,
yeah.
And then you would have to flick it and keep it spinning, and then the next person would take a flick and keep it spinning. Oh. Whoever didn't get it spinning, they would have to put their knuckles on the table, and the other person would put their thumb on the quarter and slide it at your knuckles and bust your knuckles up. So they would get the fucking quarter and they would rub it on the concrete and get it all jagged and shit. And then you had to flick it and flick it and flick it, and whoever knocked the quarter over would have to get their shit.
I vaguely remember that.
Kids are fucking dumb, people. Yeah. Hey, everybody.
The closest approximation I had to that, though, was air hockey. You know, we'd be playing air hockey and the fucking puck would nail you in the.
That's kind of what it was like. That was what it was like, yeah.
When you're talking about pencils, that's the one where you would like pull the pencil back and pop it.
Yeah,
and
you would have a pencil and you would take turns hitting each other's pencils.
Yeah.
So you would break.
Yeah.
And whoever lost, you would rack them across the knuckles.
Yep,
with a,
of course.
Like a fucking
classic
Catholic nun.
People, I remember I knew guys that would tear off the eraser and chew on the metal.
To hack it. Yeah.
And it was all about finding what brand had the strongest pencils and shit. Like, oh my God. People would get those big fucking super thick ones. It's like, that's not a number two, asshole. That's not fair.
Well, no, I knew guys that would put glue on them. Super glue. They would lay super glue on the ground.
Fucking ringers.
Roll the pencil on it until it was nice and like a little layer under it. You couldn't tell until after a few hits you start seeing the glue starting to kind of mark off. So, but I remember dudes doing that too.
Cheating fucker.
Oh, dude, people would fuck it. Dude, you did not want to get hit across the fucking knuckles with a fucking ruler.
You gotta remember, I was antisocial, so I would see people do this, but it was more anthropological. You know, I didn't actually partake of it.
You were peeking through the bushes, Frank.
He's gonna snap. Let's not.
That's
play
the
with
footloose
him.
Kid.
He's dancing on the table. That's just the leave him the fuck kid. Alone.
Yeah, but no, I didn't really partake of a lot of that sort of communal stuff that you guys are talking about. Although when you mentioned the pencils, that did remind me of that. I know my brother used to hood surf, so that was kind of a stupid thing to do.
Yeah, that was a thing. That was a thing. Teen Wolf didn't help that.
Yeah, we didn't help that. I'm talking about like junior high. I did a lot of stupid shit. High school.
Well, I mean, do people know what hood surfing is though?
Well, no, there was a game they played in high school when I went to high school where when the bell would ring, you know how everybody would rush into the hallway? You would try to smack a girl on the ass without getting caught. That was a game I remember dudes playing a lot. And if the girl didn't catch you would see guys have pin marks on their hand to show how many girls they smacked on the ass to the end of the day. And I remember thinking, wow, that's crazy. Because if a girl caught you, I mean, back then you could get in a fight in the hallway and the best you got was what? Detention?
Ooh, yeah.
I got to stay 30 minutes. So there was fights in the hallway all the time, dude.
Yeah.
And
I got into a fight in the middle of class and the teacher was trying to pull us off and I was getting kicks in as she pulled us away from one another. So this was not a great, like this teacher was barely older than us. So she really had no business teaching a class. She still had like zits and shit. You know, she was really fucking young. And so, like, there was this one dude that was, like, a bully, and he just was always giving me shit. And I think at one point, he, like, pissed me off, and I, like, threw a pin at him just, like, dismissively. Yeah. And he slapped me across the face.
God.
So I got up, and I was like, I'm tired of this shit. And I, like, lunged at him because, you know, I was a nerd, so I couldn't fight with the shit. And so we, like, tussled a bit. He punched the shit out of me. I got in, like, a good kick after she'd separated us, but my nose was, like, bleeding like crazy. And then I spent a week in that, like, quasi-juvie shit they would send you to when they didn't want you in the actual school.
Yeah.
So they'd send you into this gated compound. So I was there for like a week or so, and then you know that was.
I just remember that game. We were walking out of a class, and the school was two stories. So you had that hallway where like it's concrete stairs going this way, then it would turn and concrete stairs coming back inward, so you could go down to the second floor. And as I'm walking out, a female friend of mine's in front of me talking to me, and I see this dude smack her on the ass and start running toward the stairs, and she pushes him from behind, and he flies down like 8 stairs without touching him, and just fucking eats his shit, dude.
Oh shit!
Slams face first, hits. A wall
Fuck.
That's concrete.
Oh.
And I think he broke like 2 fingers.
Oh.
And that was kind of like, that's the game. Do you want to play? That's just how it's played.
Time's up, motherfucker.
Yeah. I just remember that. And she didn't get in trouble. They were like, oh, he tripped. And I was like, holy shit. And people were like, dude, he flew. I'm pretty sure he caught some steps, but as I remember it, he missed all 8 steps as he was going down in slow motion. And I just remember him landing on his chest, like his stomach, sliding in the wall with his hands out. Ooh. And when he picked up his fingers, 2 fingers were like dangling incorrectly.
Oh.
And they're like, take him to the nurse. School was so different back then, dude.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Different world.
Was it, though? So these are the lyrics to this Ramon song. Now I want to sniff some glue. Now I want something to do. All the kids want to sniff some glue. All the kids want something to do. And it's just repeated over and over and over again. So people are like, oh, these dumb kids eating these Tide Pods. Now look, folks, eating Tide Pods really fucking stupid. But
super dangerous. This shit's fucking toxic. It will kill you. Super stupid.
And I think there's probably an
They don't actually eat them. They put them in their mouth for a duration that they can tolerate, and they're supposed to spit it out, or they swallow it and die.
It's just
babies.
What, bath salts were 2016, and now it's fucking Tide Pods.
Well, at least bath salts was a high, though. At least you're getting something.
No, but
something
it's not. It was not a high. That's bullshit.
It wasn't both bath salts.
There's no high from it. Come on, dude. It's fucking bath salts.
People were eating people's faces, and they didn't even get high?
No. Nobody was eating people's faces because of bath salts. That was all bullshit.
Oh, was it?
Yes, that's all bullshit.
Was that
dude.
Snoped out or something? I didn't hear about that.
Yes.
So nobody ever ate anybody's face on bath salts.
You seem really hung up on the bath salts comment.
Well, because that was very intense. People, like, I'd heard that homeless dudes
were
eating
people's
faces.
He was probably on other shit, too.
Yes. It was like he was on LSD and crack and said he had bath salts and turned into bath salts made this guy eat people's face off. No, that's not what it was.
Okay.
And then
this is educational. Thank
and then
you.
It became a meme that, oh, I bet he's on bath salts. Like, it's a joke. If that was real, they would have been banning bath salts from Bed Bath & Beyond would have gone out of business.
I thought bath salts was like a street name or something. I didn't think it was literal bath salts.
They're literally saying
what the fuck are you doing with bath salts? What does that do for you?
Nobody was, motherfucker. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
He's saying that he did bath salts.
You are self-enlightening right now. But that's what I'm saying. It's just that, look, so these kids eating Tide Pods, look. It's called natural selection. If you don't think that your generation went through something like that, you're not thinking hard enough. Now, maybe it's amplified a bit by social media. So before we were trying to put on a show for our 15 friends in the lunchroom, and now people can put it on Snapchat and show 2,000 people. So there's more incentive to do stupider shit. But look, the population's larger
and
too.
And the bar is higher too to impress anybody.
Probably.
With your stupidity.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. But I'm just
saying. That's why you see like people like setting themselves on fire. And like I see shit like on Twitter, the Darwin Awards. Some of those people are fucking dying. I don't like retweet Darwin Award shit because I don't know which one of those guys died, but some of those fuckers are dying or like fucking mutilated and shit.
But I'm telling you, people did the same shit when we were kids. They just didn't have cameras to record it.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm trying to say. Even back in the 70s, kids were wanting to sniff some glue. Kids are just looking for something to do. So just look, lay off the Tide Pod shit.
You know, I never really sniffed glue.
Sniff glue inadvertently, just like a Sharpie or whiteout.
Well, yeah, but you can actually get high from glue, right?
You can actually get high from whiteout and Sharpies too.
I knew dudes that would do like spray paint cans.
Well, huffing spray paint is legit like destroying your body. Okay, that's a little.
But I knew
sniffing glue and huffing spray paint is.
Well,
a whole
I do remember getting high off of paint, but not actually like huffing it. Just like being in the presence of it. Just from the
huffing it is where you're spraying into a brown bag.
Right. No. I get you. I did not do that. But I
never understood.
Here's
that.
Another one song each story for you. So I used, because I lived in apartment complexes, I used Diablo Frank's roommate's garage to paint some wheels for one of my cars. And we ran out of black spray paint. Well, since my car was on jack stands in his driveway at 2:00 in the morning, we decided to walk to the nearest Walmart, which was very far away. So we walked like 3 miles to this fucking Walmart.
Probably, did I have a vehicle that time? Probably
no, you
not,
did not,
huh?
Sir. Yeah. No, you did not, sir. Because you were poor as fuck. I was buying spray paint to paint wheels. So I was also poor, but just not
quite
as poor.
I think I might have had the classic car at that point and it just wasn't driving.
That's probably what it was. I think you had shit stacked up on it in your fucking driveway or whatever. Anyway, so we walked to this Walmart and it's like 3:00. And this is the Walmart at...
No, you're not that level of detail.
We're in Houston, fucking Texas. None of us live near there anymore. Chill the fuck out. Nobody's going to pinpoint, Diablo Frank, an illegal machine, went to a Walmart at 2:00 in the morning in 2003. Oh, my God. They know we're in Houston. Chill the fuck out. So we go to this fucking Walmart, and we go, and they have to get somebody to, like, we thought we needed to get somebody to unlock the case to get the spray paint, except it was, like, wide open. So we just, like, slid the door open, and we bought, like, 5 cans of black spray paint. And we take it to the checkout, and there's this like old, just busted up white lady checking us out at 2:00 in the morning. And as she's scanning the cans, and she's like, "You guys aren't huffing this, are you?" And we're like, "And I'm like, no." And she's like, "Because if you are, I hear the gold spray paint is what you want to buy." I just looked at her like, "We're not huffing this." And she's like, "I'm not. I know you're not. But if you were." I hear it's the gold spray paint you want to go back and buy. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then we went back and finished the wheels. But I'll never fucking forget that. I think that's real. Yeah,
I completely forgot that. So I'm glad you reminded me just now.
100% that was correct. It's apparently the gold spray paint.
Okay.
That's the one with the most chemicals in it to jack you up. But anyway, so sorry. Hey, guys.
I thought I remembered silver. Was it gold?
No, it's gold. Come on. Okay. Anyway, that's my song. Everybody, lay off the Tide Pods. Look, it's a fad. Some people may fucking die from it. But look, chill out. We've all done things in our childhood that some kids died from. time, allegedly.
And smoke marijuana. You know, I mean, if you're going to do it, just go ahead and do it right and safe and increasingly legal.
Dude, marijuana is legal. It's not rebelling anymore. If you say, hey, I smoked some weed today, like, okay, kid, you got glaucoma or what? I don't care. It's like, it's not that big of a fucking deal. So you got to.
Somebody leans in is like, have you tried it in a vape yet? Doing it in a vape is awesome.
Yeah, that's what it's like. Oh, son, let me tell you about vapes. And you're like, oh, dad, this isn't cool anymore. I got to go get Tide Pod. I got to kick it up a notch. We're going to Tide Pods.
Hi, everyone. I'm Katy Perry. Hey, Asia. It's Miley Cyrus.
Hi, we're in One Direction.
This is Imagine Dragons.
What's up, you guys? This is Mike
and Chester from Linkin Park.
Double, Radio.
Log of the Starship Enterprise, stardate 5943.7.
Captain Kirk, this is Lieutenant Uhura. Mr. Spock is ready to patch in. Go ahead, Mr. Spock.
I'm on the surface of the destroyed barbarian planet now, Captain.
Destroyed? What do you see, Mr. Spock?
The surviving inhabitants are in a dreadful condition. It seems they can't control their limbs, and their minds are dull and useless. Fascinating. They seem to be in a state identical to that curious 20th century Earth disease called hard drug abuse. I suspect it has destroyed all meaningful life on this wretched planet.
A tragic find, Mr. Spock.
As a Vulcan, I find the need for hard drugs to be totally illogical.
But as a half-human Spock, surely you can appreciate the suffering that hard drug abuse causes. We can only hope that other civilizations will not make the same mistake.
The inaptly named drug bath salts is suspected of being behind all of these strange and scary incidents. Although bath salts is the main name, there's lots of other slang for the drug. It's made with scads of harmful synthetic chemicals, most often MDPV.
If you were around in the 60s, you probably remember that drug abuse was a big social problem then. Drugs don't seem to be talked about as much now as then, but drugs are still around, and they're still a social problem. People who are dependent on drugs live with many problems that ultimately affect us all. Drugs can be dangerous. Be careful with drugs. Sometimes they're not all fun and games. A public service announcement from the Alcohol, Drug Abuse, and Mental Health Administration, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
All right, he's scratching it right now. Cutting the record back and forth against the needle. Back and forth, back and forth. Making it scratch. But let me tell you something. Don't try it at home with your dad's stereo. Only under hip-hop supervision, all right?
All right, Frank, your song?
I'm going to be lazy this time. I decided to organize my copies of Blender magazine, and I'm basically trying to take advantage of their little brief oral histories of songs to just crib. I went through and I found the songs that I liked the best, the ones that I would most likely be able to talk about. And one such song was Soft Cell's Tainted Love. Song that I don't believe I heard at any point in the 1980s. I think that was one of those tunes when, because again, I spent most of the 1980s listening to like hardcore pop, a little bit of metal, a lot of AM country.
Dude, I was as taken aback by the term as you were, and I'm glad it wasn't just me. I was really listening to hardcore pop. Like, what the fuck is hardcore pop?
I felt that was just a way to like, justify.
I was listening to Paul Abdul's B-side.
No. I was rocking that Wham. I was really hitting that Wham really
hard. The Wham
hard.
B-side.
Okay, well,
with that crazy
hardcore,
beat.
Perhaps hardcore was a poor choice of words.
Oh, fucking no. Like, no, sir. I am now we're going to refer to you as a hardcore bubble, was it pop lover? Yeah.
Okay. Very mainstream, very accessible pop music because I was just getting started listening to pop music because I'd spent much of the 80s listening to AM country and oldies. So anyway, I think it was actually in the early 90s when I started exploring more like college radio type stuff and I came across the song. I think it did play on the Rocket, which I've referenced a number of times on this podcast and will continue to do so. What they did too is they would not play the plain version of Tainted Love. They would play it the combination mix where they did, where it transferred into the Supremes, Where Did Our Love Go? From what I heard, the reason why they did that was because at that point in the 1980s, the original song was only about 90 seconds to 2 minutes long. They wouldn't play singles that short, so they had to tack on another song to make it long enough to where it was worthwhile to actually bother with it being on the radio. What a lot of people don't know, though, is that both of the songs were covers. The original version of Tainted Love came out around 1964. It was sung by a lady named Gloria Jones. It did nothing. It went nowhere. It was not a hit at all.
For real? I had no idea that was a cover. Tainted Love.
Well, and again, double cover, both times African-American female singers from the 60s. The song was originally written by Ed Cobb. It didn't do anything. Soul music is actually really big in the UK. It never really completely left the UK the way they did in the United States. It had a revival in the 70s. It had a revival in the early 2000s. A whole shit ton of popular British artists came out of that revival. Adele, Lily Allen, Amy Winehouse, Duffy. The soul never
completely
left.
Are you saying British soul or American soul
American
music?
American soul was ported over to the UK, caught on in the UK.
Yeah, see Led Zeppelin.
Had a longevity there that it did not have in the United States. So basically what happens is a DJ from the UK comes to the United States, picks up a copy of the album, the Gloria Jones album, takes it back to the UK, starts playing it. It's heard by one of the members of Tainted Love in 1975. They ended up playing it for the singer from Soft Cell, Mark Almond. He likes it. They end up covering the song in 1982. And even though it wasn't popular back in the 60s, and it was actually re-recorded in the 70s because of the interest in the British scene, club scene, the performer re-recorded it. It still didn't do anything. It did not chart at all, but they slowed down the tempo of the song. They had the key of the song lowered to match the vocals of the male singer, and obviously it became a pretty major hit.
Yeah.
This thing made it to number 8 here in the US. I think it went to number 1 in the UK. At one point, it had set a record for the most number of weeks in the Billboard like Hot 100 or some shit like that. I'm obviously very fond of the song. It's become a associated with the AIDS epidemic because of the association Tainted Love. It was never intended for that, and obviously the song was written decades before such a thing even existed. I don't even know if herpes was a thing that people were aware of back in the mid-60s, much less AIDS. But the association apparently did help the song or give the song greater weight than it would have had normally. Soft Cell actually kind of came to dislike the song because their biggest hit, the thing that everybody knows them from, is a cover instead of anything that was original of theirs. But as Mr. Fix pointed out many years ago, and mostly has held true, if an act becomes famous off a cover song, they probably never amount to anything else. One of the only exceptions I could think of is Marilyn Manson. Actually had a pretty solid career after getting famous off a cover, but he got famous off of it. He already had some reasonable tracks before that.
Yeah, I mean, Lunchbox was like, yeah. I remember Lunchbox.
It wasn't a mainstream hit, but he had already established himself. Yeah. The
Beautiful People was their first big hit.
Yeah, I would say Beautiful
Marilyn Manson.
No, Sweet Dreams came before Beautiful People. I think Beautiful People
was
followed.
I would staunchly disagree with you.
We'd have to look it up.
Staunch.
Yeah. I want to believe Beautiful People came out first and then Sweet Dreams.
I really think it was the other way around. But anyhow, but regardless, Antichrist Superstar.
You're about to get franked. So.
Okay. Antichrist Superstar was still after
Return of the Mac.
Yeah. What was the album before that, though?
I just know I bought the single.
Because Lunchbox was on a different album.
That was a single.
Portrait of an American Family or something like that?
No, that was their first album.
That's what I'm saying, though. They'd already had notoriety before.
Yeah, well, Lunchbox was a single. I bought that as a single because that was...
Right, but it didn't have any mainstream success, though.
God damn it, I got Frank.
Marilyn Manson's popularity exploded in 1995. The
remix EP, Smells Like Children, charted within the Billboard 200 Top 40, and the music video for their Eurythmics cover became an MTV staple. However, the band achieved even more success with the first of their concept album trilogy, 1996's Antichrist Superstar. Despite violent lyrics and imagery, the rock opera reached Billboard's third position thanks to The Beautiful People.
The
beautiful people, the beautiful
people. The thing about Soft Cell's Tainted Love, besides the fact it's a great song and it's well known to be a great song, I mean, hell, Rihanna, when she was first getting started, got a big hit off of sampling that for the song S.O.S. Which I was not a fan of, and it pissed me off when that happened, but it launched a very worthy artist's career through that sample. But the reason why I love Tainted Love, besides the fact that it's just a great song, is it's also in my vocal range. So that's a song that once I started hearing it, I realized I could actually halfway decently sing it. And so I started singing it, driving around in like security trucks and shit back in the day. There was a live karaoke where the band was actually playing live karaoke, and I narrowed it down to two songs that they had on their playlist, because they had a fairly limited selection. They had maybe 100 songs at most, probably quite a bit less than that they would play live, and then you would go up and sing with them. And I narrowed it down to Faith by George Michael or Tainted Love by Soft Cell that I felt were in my vocal range that I could pull off halfway decent without completely embarrassing myself. So I love the song, but I also love the fact that that's a song I can reasonably sing, as pathetic as my vocals are.
Which one did you pick?
We took, as usual, and this is something that's very common for me with karaoke, I took so long to figure out what song I wanted to play that by the time I'd put in my name and waited for a while, we were just tired and wanted to go home. I mean, Paquita would there, and we just went back to the hotel room instead of staying.
Oh, I would have stayed no matter what.
Good strategy.
It's not a bad strategy.
It's a good strategy.
They definitely avoid some embarrassment.
Should we give input on that song? It's a great song. We're going to watch it. Have I ever seen this video? Is that Jesus Juice?
I didn't know there was a video to it. Just, you know, side note, when I hear this song, I always think of Coneheads.
Yeah, me too.
I never saw the movie.
Yeah, there's a scene where he's fighting some monster at the end, and he sings this song, and he goes, get out. He's like doing the Mr. Coney.
Well, because earlier his daughter sing it with her friends in one of the cars. It's like their favorite song.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember they got re-released briefly because of that.
Yeah, like, yeah. And that was a re-release. That was not
concurrent. It was them shooting for that Bohemian Rhapsody action like Wayne World
dude,
got.
That's it. You fucking got it. That's what it was. Why is he yelling at a little girl?
Well, he's like some kind of Caligula looking dude.
I was about to
say.
Is that his sister?
I have no idea, dude.
Fair game with Caligula.
That little girl kind of creeps me out.
It's so broad. I don't buy any weird subtext to it.
No, she's just creepy.
She's normal. There's nothing wrong with her.
Smile.
No, she's
the little girl.
There's nothing wrong with
she's the
little girl.
She's the most normal thing in this video. One thing you always have to remember with these music videos, right, is that the song is written and performed, and then they go get the label will go get a producer to make a video, and then the band shows up and they tell you what to do. It's not always that the video is exactly what the song's trying to be. You know what I mean?
Maybe a slight interpretation. I mean, this video is fucking weird as
well,
fuck.
Well, given the fact that they're mashing up 1920s croquet, or what is that fucking game with the bullshit cricket? Mixing that with Roman Empire shit. I think that's just like whatever was in the costume department and, you know, wherever they were filming. I don't think there was any.
And that was like the producer's
that.
Daughter, and he's like, she's got to get in the video, or I'm not making it. And he's like, okay, I guess I'm going to talk shit to her.
Yeah, because I mean, I always hear the song as being Mrs. Robinson kind of thing, where he's singing to an older lover, his version. One More Try, you know, or something like that. You're singing to an older lover that's fucked you up. And actually, again, perhaps what's the one that Trent Reznor again? Because I know that he loves this shit. I know that he loves this era of music. What's that fucking song? Sin, duh. I think Sin may have maybe been slightly influenced by Tainted Love a little bit.
Good lord.
Which one?
Sin. Comes down to this, your kiss, your fist, the pain, it gets under my skin, within, take in, the extent of my sin.
You are so bad when you sing these songs. They never sound anything like the actual song.
Well, I'm not singing the song this time. I'm saying the lyrics.
There we go.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. That's the intro now. This is the first ever Hoopers podcast. I'm your host, president of the Hoopers, the headband warrior, Ben Roberts. And with me today, my first guest, is a man who goes by many names, Sean, Emir, Sean Emir. chubby. It's Sean Emin Morris, and he's with us for the full hour. Say hello to the folks at home, Ems.
Chubby.
I'll edit that part out. Yeah, that was uncalled for. No, come on. No, we're going to have fun here today. It's going to be a nice old time. We're going to have. We're going to talk about some stuff. It's our first podcast, so we're just going to talk about generally, you know, the kind of stuff we're going to do here. Because most of the time when we see podcasts, it's like, oh, what do you think about the state of the Arkansas? No, I'm just saying that this is just going to be a general chat. There's going to be no rhyme or reason to it. Yeah, shout out to all the Hoopers.
Especially Alex Davis. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday to Alex Davis. Bleep that out as well, aren't I?
Well, we have to...
Did you know this is a family... Oh, yeah, I didn't specify at the start. This is a family show. This is PG
12. So there's no swearing, huh?
Well, you can swear if you want, but I'll bleep it out. Okay. And if we say anything incriminating that might get you fired, we'll bleep that out as well. Because I'm on a criminology course now, so I got to be careful with what I say.
Where do we draw the line with swearing?
You can say bottom. You gotta speak a bit closer to the mic. Come on, you're not in school now. Look, you're very nervous about this.
I'm not nervous.
No, in full disclosure, you've been a bit nervous about doing this podcast because sometimes some people in the media like to spread nasty rumors that you deny the Jewish Holocaust of 1938 to 1945. But this
straight
is
straight in with the Holocaust.
I've got it written down.
Mate, you can't start off with that, you've got to ease into it.
No, I'll blur it out.
Let's talk about why you want to do a podcast in the first place.
Yeah, okay, that's a good
start
idea.
Start off with that, ease off with the Holocaust.
That's a good idea.
Save that for gas.
No, but I'm just saying, this is a perfect platform if you do think the Holocaust happened. Let the folks know. Silence. Silence, folks. No, this is why I want to do a podcast. Because I think it's very cool if, like, we look back on this in 10 years and think, oh, this is how...
Emin viewed the Holocaust.
This is what people in 2017 thought of the Holocaust before science told them that it really happened.
Gonna have to edit everything out about the Holocaust.
Yeah, no, I'll blur out this whole first 4 minutes.
Yeah, moving on.
This was never meant to make fun of you. And I think now would be a great opportunity for you just to say once and for all, I believe the Jewish Holocaust happened.
I believe the Jewish Holocaust happened.
There you go.
I never
See?
Denied it. I don't know what your problem is.
No, you never denied. You just think that they exaggerated the body count or something.
No, not even a little bit. I'm watching Band of Brothers now and it's just tragic when they find Auschwitz.
Yeah. Yeah, Auschwitz was tragic.
Why do you smile every time I say that word? What's wrong with you?
What? Auschwitz? No, I was smiling because you said, of course I believe in the Jewish Holocaust. I watch Band of Brothers. I was like, okay then. Good night.
So this is my song.
Cameo in that fucking codpiece, man. You'll have to tell me. I can never tell if he's like gay going for camp or straight without any fucking fashion sense at all.
I think this is just the 80s.
No, this is so beyond even the 80s.
No, I'm pretty sure this is just the 80s, my man.
No, the rest of the band are in the 80s. This dude is in a whole other place. The lead singer is in another place.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is just the 80s, man.
I just don't think New Jack Buccaneer was ever a thing.
That flat top, though. The flat top every now and then makes a little comeback. Love the flat top.
That's a pretty significant elevation he's got going on there.
That's nothing,
he's not
dude.
Quite kid,
that's
but
nothing.
He's
like not
a
kid.
He's like a quarter kid, though.
I've seen higher than that in the last few years.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Has it come back again?
Every now and then it comes back.
I haven't seen
if
it.
I could pull off a flat top, I'd do it.
I haven't seen it in the wild.
I'd have the strakes on the side and everything. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I got straight hair. I can't do that shit without like serious fucking chemical effects being involved.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I gotta find out why you picked the song, dude.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, it's a Sparrow in the background. Fuck yeah.
Not just that, it's a freestanding one, not in a mall
not
or anything.
Not in a mall. Dim cod piece.
You know, there's like some lodged pubic hairs in that cod piece when she dropped it. Dude,
ah! That's the word of the day, pubic hairs. It's my Pee Wee Herman impression.
I'm just wondering if the pubes had the same elevation as the flat
Dude,
top.
Dude, he totally had a flat top on his pubes. This isn't even a question. With the strakes. Well, this video is still on.
It's Cameo, dude.
I thought you picked Word Up at first.
I was going to pick... Well, I liked both songs, but this one always stood out.
Yeah, but you don't like both songs.
No, I do.
Oh.
I always thought it was funny that fucking... Korn covered
Word Up. Yeah. That's what I was going to bring up about how that was when I knew Korn was officially fucking dead. That they were the worst... One of the worst fucking bands ever. Do your dance. Do your dance. Do your dance. Quick,
mama. Come on, baby. Tell me what's the why. Well, again, Cameo's not a guy you expect to have more than the one song. So the fact that he had a halfway decent follow-up is
pubes?
Surprising.
Are those pubes? Is he dropping pubes on those people? Oh, my God. Oh, it's candy. I get it.
It's like candy. I can feel it when you walk. Even when you talk, it takes over me. Yes, I'm candy. I wanna know, can you feel it too? Just
So that was Cameo with Candy. The reason I picked that song is because the first tape I ever bought was Cameo. I went to...
So we're talking about audio cassette.
Yes,
full
audio
straight. Or single.
Old school. No, this was a full cassette. And back then, they were expensive, too. Like, it was a big deal to get a cassette because it was back in the day.
They're about $8, right?
Something like that. It was a lot. I just remember it was back in the day where they would have the plexiglass and it had the hole so you could put your hand through the hole and grab the tape and look at it from behind. But it was behind the plexiglass. You couldn't get it through there. So if you wanted to buy a tape, you would have to go get an employee who would
Man,
go
I don't
there.
Even remember that shit. What I remember is the fucking foot-long cardboard casing that came with audio cassette tapes.
No,
you're
talking about the plastic guard that was like a foot.
Yeah.
Long. Yeah. The first two tapes.
Well, no, not just that, though. They also, you remember, or maybe it was CDs.
CDs had
the cardboard
had the
paper, yeah. Thing. Okay.
The tapes had a plastic guard. And so to protect them from being stolen, they would put them behind the plexiglass. They would have multiple holes, like glory holes. You would reach in, grab your tape. Look at it, and if you wanted to buy it, you would put it back, go get an employee. He would go behind the door, grab it. And I remember for one birthday, I had gotten $20. And I was so excited that I was getting taken to the music shop. And I wanted to buy music. My taste at the time was not very...
You were a kid.
Yeah, I didn't have a very deep bench for music. It was whatever. So we walked in, and this was playing in the music store. So I'm like, this is cool. I want this. No idea what it is. I just want this. So they gave me that, and the other tape I bought was Sam Kinison's. And it was because he had sung a Wild Thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that was a big fucking hit at the time.
So I wanted those two. Cameo, because they played a couple songs. I remember hearing Candy and Word Up. I was like, dude, this is fucking awesome. I want this. But I wanted Sam Kinison as well. And I took those two tapes, and I played the shit out of them. And I remember I was in an art class.
Was the Kinison stuff mostly stand-up or what?
No, yeah. It was like all stand-up with one Wild Thing at the very end. Yeah. I was in an art class, and each day, the teacher would let a different student bring a tape in, and you could put it in, and we would listen to it through class as we drew. I knew Sam Kinison was not going to get on there, so yeah. I took Cameo, and I put it in, and I remember people were like really jamming out to it, and I felt pretty cool, because I was like, yes, right. I was into these guys before any of you assholes were, and it was just because I just picked it up, because it was just playing at the music shop at the time. Like, I knew nothing of Cameo.
Look, man.
And then my mom got into it,
look,
too.
Man, a lot of people bought Baha Men's Who Let the Dogs Out CD also, so... I mean, I guess Cameo had his legion of people who bought his tape.
Well, and I've been persuaded more than once to buy the album that I heard at the music store, really? Too, back when that was a thing, yeah.
I just remember, and so that song is always stuck with me because that's technically the first tape I've ever bought. I got to pick it, I chose it, and I think my mom, they wouldn't sell it to me, my mom had it like... We'll take Cameo,
por favor.
We'll take, and it's Sam Kinison. And my mom didn't, I don't think she knew at the time what I was buying. I knew what I was buying,
yeah.
But she didn't.
Well, you knew with the Kinison, but not with the Cameo.
No, I didn't with the Cameo. That was definitely a crapshoot on that one, because the rest of the album could have sucked and I would have known. I think I pretty much liked it, but it wasn't like my favorite.
It doesn't sound offensive.
Yeah,
I can just imagine the whole album sounds like Candy.
No, it's not
you already know, too, because Word Up and Candy, that's already two songs. That's
saying,
out of what, about 12 maybe?
I'm saying
I think it was less than that, maybe 9. Okay.
I'm just saying it probably all sounds like Candy.
I don't remember.
I don't think any of it was, well, I need your mom to buy this for you material. So,
whoa, son, Cameo.
Word up.
I just remember that was like a big deal for me, was buying my first tape. So Cameo was my first tape.
That's cool. I'm trying to remember, since you mentioned it, I'm trying to remember what the hell my first cassette tape was. The problem is we had so many bootleg.
Well, see, bootlegs. Yeah, I had like Too Short.
Recordings.
NWA.
Yeah.
Like I had all that stuff, but to go and physically buy a reel, something. It came with the lyrics and all that, like, the fold out with the
oh yeah,
that was my first one, and Sam Kiss, and then my third one was Appetite for Destruction.
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, big step up.
I know. I just.
Oh, by then I was getting some taste in music.
Getting on sale at some like cheap like secondhand store. I remember buying a Fine Young Animals album, which was from IRS Records, because remember they had the little IRS icon and going through their. I think they went through their lyrics and stuff as well. I remember what else I had? I remember buying Like a Prayer, Madonna, because for some reason the cassettes that she set it up so it smelled like patchouli. I didn't know what patchouli was back then, but that's what it smelled like. So when I finally smelled patchouli, it's like, holy shit, patchouli is the Like a Prayer album. Smell. Okay, now I get it. That get your patchouli stink out of my record store. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the fuck my... Because obviously I bought cassettes before then. I bought a lot of albums back in the day, though, because I actually had a record player. So I'm not sure when I actually switched over and bought cassette tapes.
I remember I had the radio with the two tape decks. Yeah. So you would get someone would loan you the original so you could make a copy on the other side.
High-speed dubbing?
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, no. The high-speed dubbing was a luxury. It took a while to get high-speed dubbing.
See,
you did real-time dubbing.
Yeah. I don't think I ever actually bought a tape. I think I only recorded off the radio or high speed dubbed other people's tapes. I don't think I ever actually bought a tape.
Yeah.
Or I would just steal my sister's tapes and high speed dub them.
Right.
So I bought blank tapes and ripped them off.
Yeah, see, that's my problem is like so
I didn't
much
have
of the stuff-
money to go independently buy music until I was buying CDs.
Yeah. And see, so much of the stuff that I had even in cassette, I can't remember if I bought it or if one of my parents bought it and I just got to take advantage of it. Like, I remember having the James Bond themes on a cassette tape. I remember having the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. I remember having, like, a collection of movie hits from 1985. I remember a lot of cassettes floating around, but I don't remember which ones I actually bought, that I bought, as opposed to them being around. So
I remember the first CD I ever got.
See, that's what I was just thinking
about. Yeah,
of
I remember
right now.
CDs too.
The first CD I ever got was the About a Girl single from Nirvana's Unplugged album.
Well, yours are way colder than mine.
Yeah.
I remember,
but that was it. It was just the single of About a Girl on disc.
Yeah, I can tell you for sure.
I didn't buy it. It was given to me.
The first CD, I actually went to a store and bought a single CD, as opposed to like my parents got into one of those CD clubs.
Yeah.
And we got a bunch of CDs when we actually had a CD player. And I got to pick a number of those tracks. I know I specifically asked for Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits and got that. But the first CD I went to a store and bought was Forever Your Girl by Paula Abdul.
Damn.
Because I had such a hard-on for Paula Abdul. It's no fucking joke.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I didn't buy any of her fucking albums. I watched the videos.
Dude, Forever Your Girl was a fucking hit machine, man.
Yeah.
No, just I'm not saying it was.
Number one hit after number one hit, big shit. And she had a rap battle with a cartoon cat. So,
look.
MC Scat Cat forever.
Well, you
never seen a cat with so much charisma. Got more moves than a mutant ninja.
Turtle, that is.
And I'm doing a scat strut to hell with John Travolta and the disco duck. They call me Scat Cat, but that's full maniac. We'll move on my hip, it's like an aphrodisiac. Swinging and winging, I'm just doing my own thing. Girls, don't jump me, give me room to get funky. Step to the dance floor, bust a little spin. Shut up, kid. This is a new dance, so shake your butt and get a load of what it's like to be doing a sketch strut.
That was the one that captivated me as a child. Two steps forward, two steps back.
Opposites attract, and yeah. You know.
We come together because opposites attract now.
It ain't that fiction, song, it's a natural fact.
I can one song each that song right now, but I'm not going to. I can save it for another time.
I'm
but
trying to think, what was my first CD?
I'm going to fucking one song each that song right now just because the story's not worth a shit. It's just an anecdote.
What?
So I was living in San Antonio when that song was fucking huge.
Which one?
Opposites attract by Paula Abdul.
MC Cat on the rap, so mic it. Here's a little story and you're sure to like it. Swift and sly and I'm playing it cool with my homegirl, Paula.
So we lived in these apartments in San Antonio, and
You know what else was huge? My boner over her dress in that fucking album. And I believe she also appeared in that dress in like an issue of Entertainment Weekly.
So there was this kid in the apartments I was friends with. I don't remember his name. Anyway, so his dad was a taxi driver and he played basketball. So he asked his kid asked, like, hey, my dad's going to go play basketball with some buddies. You want to come with us? So we're like, okay, cool. So he and his like grown up dudes were playing basketball and we were just like shooting hoops at this hoop. Anyway, so while we were riding in his car, that was a cab also to go play that. I remember that song came on. I was like, hell yeah, this song's fucking rad. So then we got there and we were playing basketball, and then like almost instantly like a thunderstorm rolled in and like lightning was hitting close, and it was like, because you're like wide open on these basketball courts, and it was kind of terrifying as a kid. We got back and came back, and that's when I found out the kid's dad actually played for the Houston Rockets very briefly. And he was, I don't know if he was Iranian or he wasn't black and he wasn't white, but he was either Middle Eastern or something. I can't remember what their race was, but I remember he showed me his basketball card, and I was like, holy shit, this guy's got a fucking basketball card, like this is insane. Even though he was just a flash in the pan in the NBA, but he was a taxi driver in San Antonio, Texas. Very bizarre. But anyway, that song was playing in his taxi cab the whole time. And I was like, hell yeah, I love this video. This
I think the first CD I bought was Dookie, Green Day.
I
think
massive album.
Yeah, I bought it.
Yeah, you guys have way cooler shit than me, obviously.
This is CDs though.
Yeah, this
CDs. We were a little more.
Yeah,
at that time tapes were still.
Well, you went Nirvana, he went Green Day, I went Paula Abdul. So
we got, remember, I was into punk at the time, and all the punk I got was bootleg tapes. So, and then CDs. I remember I worked at the mall, and my friend was like, "Hey, let's go to the music store." And I'm walking, and I saw Green Day, and I'm like, "Hey, I like that one song I've been hearing lately. Let me go and buy the CD."
Well, what was it? Basket Case.
It had to be Basket
Longview.
It had to be Basket Case.
Longview was before Basket Case, though.
I'm not going to argue with on this, but Basket Case was the big wait because they had the video that everybody.
Longview had a great video too, though.
I didn't say it didn't have the couch.
Longview.
No, that's Basket Case.
But masturbation's lost its fun. You're fucked up. Yeah.
No, you're fucking crazy. No, that's Basket Case.
Bite my lip and close my eyes. Take me away to paradise.
So which one was Basket Case?
As Longview.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
The bass lick, yeah. But okay, so Basket Case was.
Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once?
That's the one where he's standing in like the white room and with the neon green floor or whatever.
They're in asylum, ain't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'm getting them confused. Yeah, a lot of Green Day's songs kind of run together. I apologize.
True. But underrated actor, I think, ultimately.
Totally disagree.
No, you really think that?
Totally disagree.
You think they're overrated?
Super fucking overrated.
I just think you got to respect the longevity and the fact that they were able to create vinyl music.
I think if you go back and look through, it was a bunch of singles and you don't remember anything from the actual fucking albums.
I don't think they were albums. I won't argue that. I do think they were a single band, but I thought that they had a really spectacular run of singles.
That's fun.
Yeah, I would give you that.
I mean, American Idiot, I think, was a strong album, but most of their other albums were just kind of a collection of singles.
I just remember fucking hearing this song. I'm like, dude, I really fucking like this song.
Yeah, this is, in my opinion, this is their best song.
So, they've had so, I mean, I like this song, but they've had way better songs than this one.
I disagree. What's better than this? Welcome to Paradise? Boulevard of Broken Bugs? I fucking hate that song.
Time of Your Life was a great one.
Oh yeah, that is.
Oh, you're gonna.
But it's kind of a bit overplayed.
What was the one from that Rufus movie?
When they were literally like a shitty pop band, and they weren't even pretending to be punk anymore.
Yeah,
I like Geek Stink Breath. That one's a cool one.
To me, this is when they were still punk.
Well, this was like the first song they ever had. So, right. Yeah.
But they came out punk. I was going to go with the Plugs, but that's for another one.
My first CD, I think I remember paying money for. It was two. I bought Check Your Head by the Beastie Boys, and I bought... name that album.
You fuckers are just being too goddamn cool.
Huh?
Why?
I'm waiting for somebody to like roll up with some Warren or some shit. You know?
Dude, I picked Cameo.
He did pick Cameo. You're Cameo. Being a little...
Yeah, you drew that.
It was Same As It Ever Was by House of Pain, which was their follow-up album to the one with Jump Around on it.
Yeah. Sure.
Same As It Ever Was is a really good album. If you guys are like, House of Pain, that's fucking dumb. Listen to Same As It Ever Was. It's a fucking great album. But when I left, I realized I'd bought the fucking censored version.
And
then, dude, there are some tracks on that album where it's like incomprehensible because they're skipping so many words. And I'm like, the fuck? Did he just have a stroke? Like, I can't even tell what the hell he's saying because they're censoring so many goddamn words in a row. But I love that album even with it. And to this day, on my phone, because I burned that album and it was into MP3 and I've carried it on from computer to computer to an upload to Google Music, Same As It Ever Was is still the censored version on my fucking phone because that's what I... And it still sounds really fucking good. I'm like, man, I must have burned this shit like really... It must not have gotten scratched because I have a bunch of my albums that are in MP3 now that I can tell were scratched up. Like, I remember that scratch in the CD. Because it was there the million times I played it. For some reason, my censored version of Same As It Ever Was is pristine. And has, to this day, has it's been meticulously... I've been the caretaker of this horribly censored video, or of this album, for a decade. 20 years now. 2 years. Two decades. Yeah, I remember when this album came out, and these first couple of videos, I was like, holy shit, this Billy Joe guy is really crazy. He must really have a screw loose. And it's like, no, he's really not.
He affects the British accent.
Just yeah, he right pretends that he's British. Yeah. No, that's my thing about... That's one of my... Oh, okay. You said it. I was going to say it. You said it.
What?
He fucking... He has a British accent in all these fucking songs. He's singing like he's a British punk singer. And like, dude, you're fucking like Birthplace Iowa punk, or some shit.
Oh, no. Birthplace of Punk was...
He's singing like he's Johnny Rotten or something.
No, it's UK.
UK?
Yeah. But Billy Joe Armstrong is not from the UK. Brains 2 is another cool one. I like Brains 2. A lot of good Green Day songs. You guys are really this guy right here was not.
I like Green Day songs.
What's that fucking song from Angus? What was that song from that soundtrack? Was that Time of Your Life or was it something else? There was another good one.
I don't know, man. You got me.
God, Time of Your Life and Boulevard of Broken Dreams are two of like my most hated songs ever, dude.
Which ones?
It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
Oh, they're better. I mean, I threw out Time of Your Life. There's actually much better ones than that, though. I'm trying to remember them off the top of my head.
Like, just the radio killed those songs. It's worse than Black Hole Sun, where I'm like, this song has to stop.
It's a better song than Black Hole Sun.
It has to stop. You have to stop playing this song at some point. And they're like, nope, we're doubling down and we're playing it twice an hour. And I'm like, this song came out 5 years ago and I'm still hearing it twice an hour. Basket Case was a song I was trying to fucking think.
American Idiot's a cool tune.
Yeah, American Idiot. So, but yeah, that was the first CD I remember buying, Dookie.
I mean, everybody bought that album. That was a huge fucking album. Dun, 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 one song each.
Well, actually, it's more like three songs
like
each 15 this time.
Songs each.
Did we?
Yeah, we all had like three songs this time.
Hey,
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Ice and the Face. We're happy that you swam your way through the sewers of the internet to get here with us. Thank you for being here.
Yes, where you travel through the sewers of the internet, we live there.
Exactly right.
Because at that age, you know, like an old lady in her 70s, she's a swinger. She's had like lampshades up there and shit.
She's done it all.
You know, they don't just go full dick.
No.
We're talking like dick and balls and like maybe a leg up in there.
Everything.
Yeah. You know, so they need
that. She's going to get the old fist and dick.
Yeah. Fist and dick.
Sounds like a restaurant. Going down to fist and dicks.
Yeah. So that was what I imagined the loop fountain was for. I don't know if there's a large population of octogenarians going to those adult toy conventions in Las Vegas, but I imagine that they probably get a free shuttle there from the home.
Yeah.
And probably a ticket for a free buffet.
Definitely.
And then they play the 5 cent slot machines after the thing's over, the show's over. So you get a good look at the new new loop fountains, a quick dip in, dip out in the old hotel room.
They're old.
You go to the buffet for your $5 shrimps, and then you get back on the bus and go home.
All you can eat $5 shrimp, by the way. So fuck. I mean, hey, look, you're old. Why not? First of all, do all the drugs you want when you're old, whatever you want. I don't care. Fucking.
There's a misconception about why most old people limp. And we just cleared that shit right the fuck
fucking,
up for you.
Because they're straight pimping?
Yeah, straight pimping. Dipping in, dipping out, and straight pimping.
Straight limping and pimping.
Yep.
They dip in, they dip out, and limp and pimp.
Pimping and then limping.
Pimping and limping. Yeah. Pimping each other's wives, swapping dicks, but they don't care. They've been through it all before. There's no sentiment left.
So I want to talk about another toy from the adult entertainment
expo. Go ahead, throw it at me.
Black Canary.
I'll need a sparring partner.
I'm Zatanna. What do you care about some leggy dame in nylons? Or have I answered my own question?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for magic.
Black Canary and Zatanna. Together in one podcast. I'm Ryan Daly, and I've got a thing for superheroes in fishnet stockings. That's why I started Power of Fishnets, the Black Canary and Zatanna podcast. Join me every 2 weeks as I celebrate the blonde bombshell and the mistress of magic in their exciting adventures published by DC Comics. Power of Fishnets, available on iTunes and at fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Ryan Daly wrote, "You cover the only two Susie and the Banshee songs I know. I love the use of Face to Face in Batman Returns so much that I bought the original score soundtrack just to get the song. Little did I know at the time that 25 years later I would use the finale track as a theme for my Batman podcast. As for the amazing Cities in Dust, like Mac, I've also heard that song recently and sort of randomly, but also bizarrely, in connection with another one of my podcasts. Someone built a Spotify playlist inspired by the DC new Black Canary series, where the main character was lead singer in a band of the same name. I checked out the playlist to see if there are any tracks I'd use in my Flowers and Fishnets, Power of Fishnets podcasts. I don't remember what else was on the list, but I remember Cities in Dust being the standout. The preceding hour is dedicated to Pat Sampson, Keith G. Baker, the 108th Sage, August Spuriatna, Badit Shapirat, Cash Flag, Dr. Ange, Bone Dragon Comics, Chris at Bad Books for Beginners, Chris Sheehan, also of Chris and Reggie's Cosmic Treadmill, David C. Otero, Dragon, Sexy Robots and Adventures Podcast, Dr. G. Nerdologist, Gord Tolton, The Hoopers, Ice in the Face, Into the Weird, Jared Albrecht, The Yard Sale Artist, Jeffrey Brown, Joe Crawford, Justice First Dawn, Kevin Dodgy, Christados, Longbox Crusade, Longbox of Darkness, Odell Abner Dracula, Pod Dylan, Rad Adventures Podcasting Network, Randy Andrews, Resurrections and Adam Warlock and Thanos Podcast, Ryan Daly, Sean Michael Ortega, Siskoid, Terrence Castingway, Trekker Talk, and Zach Sally.
One Song Each is a Rolled Spine podcast. This is a not-for-profit fan production. Any copyrighted materials used is believed covered under fair use, with no infringement intended. Please leave your comments and criticisms on our website. We especially encourage participation on this show. Feel free to call in and leave a request. Maybe you'll even get featured on the show. We thank you for your rapt attention.